Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode of Walsh Wednesday, we speak with rock musician Sean McNair. We talk about growing up in the Hudson Valley, studying music industry at the College of St. Rose, and making the move from Newburgh to Nashville. Not just that, we even talk a little bit about how he went from being a fan to touring with one of his favorite bands, progressive heavy metal band Savatage. This one's a fun one, so buckle up. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. I'm strolling back down memory lane, and I am so happy to be catching up with this guy today. Not only is he one of the best guitarists I have ever met in my life, he's also just like one of the chillest and funniest dudes. I remember, like, we would just riff off each other so much back in college, make our friend EO very uncomfortable with all of our jokes. It was fantastic. So with us, we have phenomenal guitarist, touring musician. Recently, you could have seen him with Savatage, the progressive heavy metal band known for hits like Hall of the Mountain King, Believe, When the Crowds Are Gone, and Edge of Thorns. Touring all across the world with that. Not only that, he's in an Iron Maiden tribute band. He's got his own YouTube channel doing guitar covers, riffs, and more. With us today, we have the man, the myth, the legend from Nashville, Tennessee, but originally from the Hudson Valley, Sean McNair. Sean, how you doing, bud?
What's going on, man? How the hell can I follow an intro like that?
You're the one that's living it, though. I'm just getting it from you. So there you go. So see, two Hudson Valley guys. Dude, it's so good to see you as well. And hopefully, let's not make it 5 years again pass before the next time we talk, which is insane, you know, because we talked about getting you on the program, whether it was St. Rose Rocks or whether it was Walsh Wednesday. But unfortunately, you know, the pandemic really screwed that up, and that's a lot of separation. So we have a lot of catching up to do. Probably let's start with one of the first things. With one of the latest things that you've been working with, Savatage. As I said, you've been touring all around. You're one of the touring members, not an official member, but you're there on the tour, which is so, so cool. If I'm not mistaken, you just finished up a tour in Europe. Is that where you're at?
Yeah. Yep. We just got back. We were doing 2 weeks. Well, we were practicing in Germany for a week, and then the tour was 2 weeks just around played Switzerland. We played Italy, the UK, like just, you know, all these different countries, and I've never even been overseas. So, you know, for the first time going over there with a band that I've loved forever, it's just a dream come true, man. That's I was on vacation, and we wrapped up the tour in Greece. And so I stayed there for like 10 days afterwards, and it was just incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. So I was just about to ask. Yes, experience of a lifetime indeed. I was about to ask, I know touring can be so grueling, and a lot of the time when you're on tour, you're just part of the camp, you're constantly moving around, you don't always have a lot of time for yourself. You said you had those 10 days in Greece. Besides that, were you really able to be a tourist at all in some of the places you visited, or was it like strictly you're there at the camp?
I think it depends like what the schedule is looking like. Like, I really got to see London, which was awesome. That was insanely beautiful. Like, I had some of the architecture there. I'd never seen anything like that. And you know, I got to go do all the kind of tourist things. I saw, you know, Big Ben, Parliament Building, and I even got some time to go to the Cart and Horses on the East End of London. And yeah, that's the place where Iron Maiden played their first ever show. So they have all the Iron Maiden kind of memorabilia and all the signed pictures and everything. Got myself, what was it, the Number of the Beast burger and something, the Eddie fries or something. I don't know, but that was cool. That was something I had to do, you know, just being as big a Maiden fan as I am. I'm like, that's, you know,
one of the bucket
Absolutely.
list places.
That's so cool. I love that for you. I'm glad that you were able to experience that. So let's talk about how you even got this opportunity of a lifetime. How the heck did a kid from Newburgh get to join the tour with Savatage?
Honestly, it was. I'm still like in shock over it. God, I can't believe it. But I guess the long story short is that I took some lessons with Al Petrelli, who's the guitar player who, obviously I knew from Savatage, and he was also in Megadeth, which is another one of my favorite bands, I'm sure, as
Yeah.
they're.
You were
So he
able to
was
just
doing.
take lessons with him?
Well, it was during the during COVID, so he was
Oh.
doing like online lessons, and I'm like, yeah, this is like a no-brainer. I gotta sign up. I love, I love his playing so much, and I'll get into that more too, because after working with him and seeing just how he plays and how he works, it's just he's a genius, man. I there's not enough words to describe just how grateful I am to have been able to even be in the presence of, someone, a master of his craft. Just, it's insane. But I digress. So I took a guitar lesson with him, and we just kind of stayed in touch from that. Or I took a couple lessons with him, so we kind of, got to know each other a little bit. And then somewhere along the line, I sent him a video of me playing Gutter Ballet, one of the Sabotage songs, and I was playing the piano for that. I was singing, doing the guitar, like just all the instruments for it. It was just a cover video, just because I love Sabotage so much, and I was like, hey, I know you're a part of this, and just wanted to send this along to you. And this was in 2021, I think, or something like that. And he was like, oh, that's awesome, I showed John Oliva, he loved it. I was like, oh my God, no way, that's incredible. And so fast forward now to last year, say like 6 months ago. I don't know. I'm the worst when it comes to time. I'm so scatterbrained. But when the Sabotage kind of reunion idea came up, they were like, "Oh, we need a keyboard player who can also sing, because unfortunately John Oliva has been dealing with some health issues and he's not able to tour." So, at the moment, God willing, in the future he is able to and able to fully recover. But they needed someone to fill in for these shows that they already had booked, and Al just remembered that video that I sent him and gave me a call, and I went down to audition and somehow got
That's
the
amazing. That is so cool. And it, oh, excuse me. And it just goes to
gig.
show you where the hell did that
It's
come from? But that really just goes to show you never know where a connection's going to lead you, because that was a couple of years off. You said you had those initial lessons, 2020, 2021, and then a couple of years later, you know how that all pays off. That's insane. So now I got to
It's just one
ask.
of those freak things, man. Just kind of, I don't want to say the stars aligned, because that kind of insinuates that the stuff with John, and I would much rather him be healthy than
Yeah.
me be a part of this. So I don't mean it like that, but in terms of like just everything kind of lining up, it was just like, again, I still can't believe how it all turned out. It's
I
dream
think
come
you can
true.
still say that the stars aligned. The stars aligned in their case, where they were able to find somebody as in love and dedicated as they could to help with a difficult circumstance. I think you can say at least the stars
That's a
aligned like
great way of
that.
putting it. Yes.
Absolutely, where they were able to find somebody as yourself who, you know, had that dedication. So now I just have to ask, you know, being this phenomenal guitarist, you're playing keys. So it's like
Right.
obviously very good, you're very good musician in that right, but how's it feel to not be on like your main instrument?
It's very funny, because every time I would go out on stage, I would walk out on stage for a Sabotage show, and I'd be like, I'm forgetting something. Like, what? And and then every time I walked out to play a show on guitar, I'd be like, now this feels weird.
Oh, there you go. So you did get a chance to play guitar a little bit with them.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I
Oh,
should have
no.
clarified. No, for other gigs
Oh,
or
for
other bands, like
other
whenever I
gigs.
would, like when I'm back here in the States, like I play with an Iron Maiden tribute band here in town, which is so much fun. you know, I play guitar in that one. So every time I'm going out on stage with the guitar, I'm like, this should feel like, you know, a lot less weird than it does. I don't know. It's just weird
That's a
kind of
weird
just
flip-flop.
adapting and exactly like kind of getting used to one or the other and then going back to the other one is like just,
You have a
you
musician's
know.
identity crisis going on.
Exactly.
Yep, that's funny. So obviously, I feel like we could talk all day about Sabotage and all the things that you did. I do have a question that I'm going to save for the end of this episode, though. But before we
Course.
transition to the next thing, is there anything that you just want to talk about the experience that you just would think might be fun to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience?
I guess just the sheer amount of just how grateful I am every time I would step out on that stage, and how surreal it was to look behind me and see that Sabotage logo on the screen,
Just like the
because
poster behind you.
exactly, yes.
Yep.
But yeah, like because they were a band that is so special to me because they really inspired me to pick up a guitar. The Hall of the Mountain King is one of the still one of the most badass riffs I've ever heard. And when I first heard it when I was like 12, 13, I was like, what is this? Like, Dad, give me your guitar. I got to learn how to do that. You know, there's a handful of bands that really inspired me to pick up a guitar, and Sabotage was one of probably one of the main reasons that I, you know, play music to begin with. And then the whole history with them, I never thought that I'd be able to see them live. And then to be able to go on tour with them and play, you know, in the ensemble is, you know, I can't even believe I'm saying that, you know, right now. You know, it's just so surreal. I'm so grateful for the opportunity, and you know, it's just, you know,
Amazing.
unbelievable.
Amazing. Before I
And all the
drop.
guys are so nice. Everyone in the camp is unbelievable. It couldn't have been a better situation to be a part of, and I'm so thankful to everyone who was involved in that organization.
Phenomenal. That's so cool, man. Before I drop Sabotage altogether, there's an interesting trivia fact that I found while trying to research and get ready for this episode. They have a strange, or not strange, but unbelievable connection with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Are you able to speak to this by any means? Obviously, you're coming in
Yeah, for
more
sure.
recent years, but I'm sure they probably told you about the connection, which you think Trans-Siberian Orchestra, yes, you think of heavy metal, but you also think of Christmas. So what does Sabotage have anything to do with Christmas?
Yeah, well, this I could tell you just as a fan of the band too, like just kind of the history of that. They had an album in 1995, Sabotage, called Dead Winter Dead, and that was a concept album about the Bosnian War. And one of the songs on it was a depiction of a cello player who used to play in the middle of the square in Sarajevo during the
Oh,
bombings,
wow.
and he would play Christmas songs. So the song Christmas Eve Sarajevo 1224 is basically they tried, and like I guess like that was meant to be a depiction of the cello player playing Christmas songs with the dichotomy, the right word? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
stupid.
so.
But like a dichotomy of that along with like the heavy
Yes.
to kind of symbolize like the bombers and you know all these, you know, this crazy stuff going on, explosions, war, you know, all this terrible stuff mixed with these beautiful melodies of Christmas songs. And that was a part of the story of Dead Winter Dead, the album. But that kind of became an unexpected Christmas kind of hit. You know, they started hearing it on the radio. You know, on, I remember I read a funny story where I think Johnny was saying that he was listening to, I don't know the name of the radio station, but it was some like adult contemporary radio station on the way to rehearsal or something. And he was like, they're playing our song. And he gets to the rehearsal room and says, guys, like the, you know, they're playing our song on this adult contemporary station. And the rest of the guys are like, all right, first of all, that's awesome. But second of all, why are you listening to that radio station? So yeah, it just became such an unexpected hit that the think it was the label, or someone wanted to, really, or I think it was Paul O'Neill, the God rest his soul, the producer who I unfortunately never got a chance to meet, but I hear so many amazing things, and he seems like such an amazing man. But he had the idea to kind of base a whole album around that song and call it something different. So, to kind of separate it a little bit. And that's where Christmas Eve and Other Stories, the first Trans-Siberian Orchestra album, that's kind of the story with that. And then, yeah, that just kind of took off. And, now they're incredibly successful. And
Yeah.
I've seen them about four times at this point.
Hell yeah. I've
And
seen
remember,
them
this is all
only
just.
once, so only
Yeah,
once.
they're incredible, and that's all. I totally could be wrong about any of those facts or whatever. That's just me speaking as a fan. What I assume
Yeah.
happened or think happened,
Based on what you
but I
learned and
think that's
heard.
exactly. I think
Yep.
that's the story with that.
Nice.
So.
That's but so funny. And honestly, would never have thought. That's hilarious though, how that worked out. And of course, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, very successful. If you ever had the opportunity to hop onto one of those tours, would you?
Let me think about it. Yeah, of course. In a second, I would love to, because they're another band, like even just separate from Sabotage. I love Trans-Siberian Orchestra's music, and so absolutely I would.
Based on the one time that I saw them, I could so see you fitting on stage up there. That would be incredible to see that. I would love to have that happen. All right. As I said, we have a lot to get into, a lot of things to catch up on. You mentioned this already, your love of Iron Maiden. They are one of your biggest influences. Not just that, you got to see where it all began over in London. You're in a tribute band of Iron Maiden there in Nashville. Tell me about that. What is this Iron Maiden tribute band like? How'd you get involved in that? And just how fun is it to be playing Iron Maiden songs?
There's really not a whole lot of things that are better than being able to play an hour and a half set of Iron Maiden, for it's just a huge celebration of the music and everything. I mean, it's those things like, we're not trying to look like them. We're not trying to, put on wigs or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, because I love seeing tribute bands that do that too,
Yeah.
because that's so much fun. But it's all about just celebrating the music, and like you said, they're one of my favorites. So it's just so much fun, and to get to go and play all these different places is, there's it's awesome. And
Is
I
it
used
mainly
to when I
there in
was
Tennessee, or do you guys travel around for that too?
it's kind of a I'd say mainly Tennessee, and like kind of within like a few hours or reasonable kind of distance
Yeah.
of Tennessee. But we have some shows coming up in Ohio that we're playing in Cincinnati, and then in Akron, which I think is like 7.5 or something hours away. So
Yeah.
we do kind of get out there a little bit. But
No chance of New York yet, huh?
I wish, man. I hope so. I'm down for anything,
Fingers
but
crossed. Would love to see you do something like that back here in New York. That would be sick.
Yeah,
You
that would be so awesome. 'Cause I know a couple of the guys are from New England.
Are they?
Like Terry, the singer. Yeah, like he's a well, Terry's from Western New York, and Chris, the other guitar player, he's from, or I don't know if he's from Massachusetts, but he lived in Massachusetts for a
Okay.
while. So we all kind of have some roots in Northeast. So
Nice.
I hope so.
Nice. So how'd you get involved with this band? Was this another auditioning process? Were you a founding member? Where, how did this come to be?
Well, right now I gotta take an opportunity to kind of rub it in my friends' faces who keep making fun of me for using Facebook, calling me a boomer and everything. But
No, I get more business out of Facebook than
dude,
I
I'm telling
ever
you,
have on LinkedIn. I
it's the best. Yeah, I don't even have a LinkedIn profile. I just use
Yeah.
Facebook, dude. It's the
Facebook,
best.
man, because like I know people can say their jokes about Facebook, but when it comes to being in the arts and entertainment, utilizing different Facebook groups, different things along those lines to make connections, again, I have done more business on Facebook than I ever have or will on LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's the best, dude. Number one Facebook supporter right here. But the yeah, I saw that I I literally typed in tribute band looking for guitar player, and Power Slave, up came their posts like, hey, looking for a guitar player. So I messaged them and we set up an audition date, and then I flew down here, and that was the first time I ever was in Nashville, because I was never a traveler. Like I really hadn't left kind of basically the tri-state area until the music stuff started happening. So it was very kind of sedentary, and then just took a chance, flew out and auditioned, and it went great. I really felt like we all clicked, and they called me, so I got the gig. So that was great,
So that's
and
your
that kind
reason
of
for being in
allowed me,
Nashville.
exactly, I was gonna, that kind of gave me an excuse, if you will, to move down here. So because I always wanted to be down here, because so many people are down here, like Aiden Sloppy, he's down here, he's the
He just
man.
got married. Congrats to them. Oh my God. Well, him and Allie had been
So
together
happy.
forever, so.
And he's really been like, there's a couple people down here that have really been my, kind of rock down here that I could always count on. And like him, you remember Riley and Haley,
Oh yes.
Riley Olina. He's down here too. It's just, it was another thing where everything kind of lined up. Like, I wasn't moving down here not knowing anyone. Like, it wasn't like I'm moving to this strange place and like having nothing going on, no pun intended with the Sabotage song. But it was, it just worked out, and I'm so happy down here. I love it. It's one of my favorite cities I've lived in. I mean, not that I've lived in too many, but compared
That's
to
cool.
Albany, I gotta say I do like it a little better.
That's fair. Albany is Smallbany. As much as I do have my love for Albany, it is Smallbany.
I do too, of course, but
But Nashville is Nashville, though. Like, if you're a musician, like, you want to be there. 100%. Oh my God, I'm jealous every time like I catch up with people. Every once in a while I'll talk with Ryan too. No, he's down there. I see Zane will pop up in my comments and likes, and we haven't had like a legit conversation in a while, but like definitely comment on each other's stuff. It's just so good to see people doing good down there. Mark Manning's down there, right?
I think he was. I know because I saw him a couple times, but then I think he moved somewhere. But I'm just hearing that kind of, third, was it third party
Yeah, third
information? Whatever.
party.
I don't know. Could be talking Call of Duty terms right now. Third party,
No, you're
but
good. You're
yeah.
good.
It's when are you coming down here, my
I
man? Now's your
know.
turn.
I know. I do need to get down, even if it's just a visit. I have some friends who, not from St. Rose, but I have some friends down there that they have a house, and they've said a couple of times, it's like, Con, stay for like a week or two. We'll get you a show. We'll make something happen. And it was like, yeah, we just got to figure out a time. It's tough when I'm running my own business up here in New York. It's tough.
Yeah, I get it,
Just actually moved into a new office space. So, new studio,
man.
new office. So, very, very cool. I'm not just doing this for my family room anymore, which is nice.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I would love to come down. I love to see everybody, and I love to see the whole scene. Oh my God. I'm so jealous. Oh my God. That is
And
so, so
hey, I got
cool.
a pull-out couch with your name on it. If you ever want to visit for a couple days or whatever, you're always welcome here, my man.
Probably going to have to take you up on that. Thank you, Sean.
Absolutely, please do.
See, us Hudson Valley guys, we got to stay together. And that's
That's right.
probably a good way to lead into. Again, you're from Newburgh. I'm from Poughkeepsie. We're on just complete different sides of the river there. What was that like growing up in Newburgh and learning to play guitar, going to school in the Hudson Valley? What was it like growing up here? Would you say that any of your time here in this area? Obviously, you got the family who influenced you, family friends influenced you on music, but is there anything about the area in particular that really served you well on your journey?
I think something I really got to think about. I know I love the Hudson Valley. I love, I've very, just whenever I think about it, it's just always warm memories, of course, because all my family is there, and my friends. I think growing up, I don't know if it was much as the area as much as it was kind of just a me thing, where I was just very shy and kind of like kept to myself in a way. I have a couple great friends I still keep in contact with from high school and everything, but by and large I would always just kind of keep to myself. And, that gave me a lot of time to just kind of, be in my basement,
Basement
plugging
shredding.
away, practicing
Yeah.
guitar. Exactly. So,
Yeah.
I think, that was at the time I probably was like, oh, this sucks. But, not, always, going out or going to parties or whatever. But like looking back, it was really kind of, I think, the best
Yeah.
thing that could have happened, because it gave me the time to really kind of hone in on what I want to do and like hone in on, my skills or lack thereof.
No, you whatever you were back then, obviously you got to start somewhere. Like by the time that I met you in Albany, like dude, you were a killer. You're a guitar god. I'm like, what is this guy doing here? This guy doesn't need to be in college. Like he's doing something right on his own. But one thing about the Hudson Valley that I always found really good for me, I'll admit I kind of lean more to the adult contemporary, so I feel like I can find easier concerts that way. But there were some really great venues in our area, especially like growing up with the Chance. Did you go to the
Yes,
Chance
I was
much
just
for
going to say the
shows?
Chance. That
Yes.
was the first place I ever, well, minus my middle school spring concert or something like that, where that was ridiculous in itself. That was the first time I ever played in front of people, and we were doing Smells Like Teen Spirit,
Oh, fun.
and it was for a like the spring orchestra concert or whatever in the auditorium. So everyone was like in their suits and everything, but I didn't get the memo for that, so I showed up in a Slayer shirt,
Good for
and
you.
just I was like, oh, I guess I slightly underdressed for this. And my BC Rich guitar, so it was just this like ridiculous shape, like all pointy and like a million knobs on it. And I think the bass player was playing a stand-up bass for it, and it was just like, all right,
That's
that was the
weird.
first
That's
time I ever
trippy.
played. It was bizarre. I got the video somewhere. It's on an SD card in
Nice.
some drawer somewhere in the house. But yeah, so that was the first time I ever played in front of people, but my first time playing on an actual stage was at the Chance with
Amazing.
one of those like rock camp kind of things, the New York School of Music,
Oh,
Aaron
amazing.
Walden. So they like put together a like a rock camp, like rock night thing. So
Nice.
that was my first time ever getting the chance to play. So I
Nice.
always got a place in my heart for the Chance.
I know. Rest in peace, the Chance. I would love to see, rumors fly all the time. It's like, oh, there's this plan for the Chance. There's this plan for the Chance. And for anybody listening, especially not in the Hudson Valley area, the Chance is this phenomenal historic a theater that hosted shows with all the legends. You think about all the legends of rock and roll, even some country people, but mostly it was a rock place. Like I remember, I think was it the Police? I think it was the Police that had their
Yeah, I know.
first US show there to only four people in a
Yeah, during a
snowstorm.
snowstorm.
Yes, that's probably like one of the most famous stories about the Chance, which is hilarious too. And it's funny because there's so many people who claim that they were there at that show, but again, there was only four people there, so it's like there's a little bit more than four people claiming they were there at that show. So what you doing here? But besides that, yeah, the Chance was amazing, but unfortunately, owners had since passed away and then had to, sell things. So hopefully, something comes along with it. Yeah, I've had the pleasure of playing the Chance a number of times. Always so much fun. I stuck out like a sore thumb. They threw me in on some metal shows, and you know my music,
Did
Sean.
they really?
I'm not a
That's
metal
awesome.
guy, which
I was
is
gonna say that as a joke. Did they put you on it like a metal show? But they actually did.
they
That's
did a
hilarious.
couple times too, where I'd be like the acoustic opener before like a metal show, and I'd have these big guys in all leather and metal all over them and spikes, towering over me and be like, kid, you got a lot of balls for what you did. I couldn't do that with just a guitar and a spotlight. God damn. And it's like, thank you, sir.
That's
Goodbye,
awesome.
sir. But
Yeah,
I
I'm
will
getting
say,
that here.
I'll admit, I was a little terrified as a like freshman, sophomore musician, in high school. But it really was one of the nicest communities. One of the
Oh,
most
yeah.
nicest communities welcomed me in with open arms, even if I wasn't necessarily their genre and I didn't sound like the people who are coming on after me. They're always so good. And knowing the fact that you're so big in this community, what do you say about the stigma, even to this day, that metalheads get for being aggressive and mean? It's like, what do you have to say against that stigma? Because I've always seen it as a very welcoming community.
Yeah, it's a well. I guess, you think I can be aggressive and mean with arms like this? So, that's kind of like all I need to say on that one. But no, it's like, of course, like, there's, some bad eggs, as as there is in every community. But to use the phrase again, by and large, it's, some of the nicest people I've met, are either metal musicians or people that are into metal. And people that are into metal, a lot of times they're, do a lot of other stuff. Like, me personally, I love, stuff like Sabrina Carpenter or Taylor Swift, like, almost as much as I do some of the metal bands, so
Yeah.
it's, it's a wide range of, like, it's just music, I mean, it's, there's a special bond, I think, that, people that listen to metal kind of intrinsically have. But, it's one of those kind of unwarranted stereotypes that, like,
Yeah.
people are aggressive and mean. I mean, I'd like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but
I love always talking with you, Sean. I got no qualms. I got no problems whatsoever. It's funny that you said about like
I got a problem with you.
oh my God,
No.
you ready to go? I'll come down. I'll come down. Let's go. No. It's funny that you say though about Sabrina Carpenter and Taylor Swift and all those folks. I have a friend of mine who's a drum tech and he's toured around and he was on tour with Young the Giant and a lot of other like great bands as well. And he was talking to me and he was listing off the bands that he was working with. And then he says Tate McRae in the mix of everything. And I'm like, wait a second, one thing is not like the other. You worked with Tate McRae after working with all these rock bands is like, oh yeah, no, I just knew people from her camp and they brought me over and we did it. And it was like, wow, okay. It's like it was just the funniest thing. It was like you kind of had the buffering thing on me for a second. And I'm like, wait a second. But no, it's just funny. But it just goes to show you, as
Same
you
thing
said.
kind of happened, with me, with the guy who's the sound engineer for, or I don't know if the live sound engineer for Sabotage. Before he worked with that, he also works with Queen, and but he also worked with Chapel Roan, which I thought was really cool, because like, because I love Chapel Roan too. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, so just kind of, it's so funny, like, going from that. Like, got Chapel Roan on one side of the spectrum, and then Sabotage. It's like, you'd think they wouldn't mix, but
There's a lot more
it's
mixed than you
music is
think.
music,
Music is
exactly.
music. It's funny with Chapel Roan. I work for a music clinic called Day Rock, and we go all around like the tri-state area doing music clinics with the kids. And how many times we have played Pink Pony Club with the kids is just ridiculous. But the thing is, though, it's fun. It's a bop. There are some songs that we've done that are like, oh, I'm so sick and tired of hearing this one. That one hasn't. I don't think it's worn on me enough yet. I think I'm okay still. I play it and I'm like Pink Pony Club. I'm not jaded with it yet. Some songs I'm jaded with, but that one hasn't jaded me yet.
I love all that, like, the pop stuff. I'm a big fan of that. I love all kinds of music, but, like I said, a good song is a good song, so
Yeah. I listened to some stuff, and especially like with the education that we had at St. Rose, really listening to the production value of it. And there are certain things now that I can hear that I couldn't hear in the past, and I'm like, that was really smart. So even if I'm not huge on whatever who the big pop star is at the time, I can listen to the song and be like, wow, whoever was the producer on that was really genius. I like what they did there or whatnot. Which I guess leads me to talk about our time at St. Rose. Rest in peace, St. Rose. Here we are talking about all the places. Rest in peace. The Chance, St. Rose. Jeez, what is wrong with it? But that's where we met, of course, there at St. Rose, and we got a lot
Yes,
of great
sir.
education. We did a lot of fun things together, separately. It was a great time over there. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
Adversity and stress. How do you cope? I'm dealing with a voice issue right now, my own adversity and stress. So let's use AI Andy for the rest of this message. Take it away, AI Andy.
This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at MHA of Dutchess County. We all move on a scale of mental wellness. It can shift minute by minute, hour by hour, based on what we face. What happens when it piles on? How do you cope? Do you turn to the bottle or vape? Do you medicate with pills not prescribed for that purpose? Do you become short-tempered and argue with others? Are you quick to road rage? These are self-defeating and negative reactions, and they're unhealthy and can lead to self-inflicted further stress. There's no shame in seeking to improve you by engaging in self-care with a therapist. If you do not know where to start, talk to your primary care physician. You can always contact Mental Health America of Dutchess County at 845-473-2500, and if we don't have a specific program to help you, we will help guide you to one.
Thanks, AI Andy. You sound pretty good.
Thanks, Andrew and AI Andy. Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
September will be Aortic Disease Awareness Month. To prepare us for September, we have a message from nurse leader and health advocate, Tonka Williams.
Peace and blessings, family. I am Tonka Williams, a proud Black woman, a nurse, and your advocate for cardiovascular health and wellness. We're going to talk about something that's quietly claiming the lives of too many of us in the Black community, aortic disease. The aorta is your body's largest artery. When it weakens or tears, it's just not a health issue. It's an emergency. And the painful truth, many of us have never heard of it before. And if we have, we don't always know the signs or how to protect ourselves. That ends today. This isn't just about personal health. It's about protecting our families and building a future where our people thrive. Advocacy is our inheritance. Learn the signs. Get your pressure checked. Ask your doctor about your aortic. Talk to your family. This is how we protect our legacy. My heart, my health, my power. Stay safe, stay strong, and stay here with us. Thank you, and may you walk in health, purpose, and power.
For additional information, please visit the John Ritter Foundation website, johnritterfoundation.org. And please check out the full video at Tonka Williams' YouTube channel, at Tonka Williams-Aortic-Awareness.
A message from Dutchess Beer Distributors. From now to the end of November, Dutchess Beer Distributors presents Football Face-Off. Come on out to your favorite Hudson Valley bars and restaurants where you could win free Bud Light and neutral seltzers, along with other awesome prizes. Try your hand at one of their three games: football toss, beer can cornhole, or flick a field goal. You can check out the events calendar to see where Dutchess Beer Distributors will be next in the description of this episode.
Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Women-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRWithImpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law, Tonka Williams on aortic health awareness, and Walsh Valuation. before, you know, obviously before the pandemic led to your lessons, which led to Sabotage, which led to touring and everything. But before all of that, let's talk about your time at St. Rose. What was it like for you? Was St. Rose your top school, or was it just somewhere on the list that you happened to just pick?
I was really kind of just the only two that I auditioned for was Berkeley and St. Rose.
Same.
And I loved Berkeley. I love Boston as a city. Unbelievable. I love it so much. Even, you know, to this day, I visit sometimes. But and I was just there a couple years ago touring with when I was touring with Summoner Circle. Blackened death metal band. That was so much fun. But we played in a place, it wasn't Boston, but it was outside of Boston, but like still had a Boston feel to it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that, you know, whole kind of scene and the whole, you know, Boston attitude and, you know, being a Pats fan, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta represent the city and
you and Sean got along very, very well during those days.
Yes.
I still love how Sean called it the New England Invitational when the Patriots were dominating every year. I'll admit that was pretty hilarious. It became it went from the New England Invitational to the Kansas City Invitational though in most recent years. Yeah. But sorry, I cut you off. Yes, between Berkeley and St. Rose.
Please do, I ramble. But Berkeley, I loved it, but I felt like St. Rose at that time, it's so funny that this was part of the thought process because of just like how far now that I've like, you know, traveled and even where I live now, but St. Rose was a lot closer. Like Albany was, I think, like an hour, a little less than like an hour and a half from where I was living. And then Boston, I think it was like 4.5. And I was like, oh man, that's a little far. And of course now I live like, you know, 13 hours away. But at that time I was just, you know, first time kind of heading out on my own, so to speak, you know, and just like, you know, I like the school a lot. Seems like a really kind of tight knit community, which not to say that Berkeley isn't, but that seemed a little more cutthroat, I guess, so to speak. And I just wasn't really into that, you know, at the time. I was like, I think I'd fit better at St. Rose.
Yeah.
And so that was, went into audition for that. And then remember Matt Fink was there for the audition. He was the guy who was auditioning me. And I get in there and he's sitting at the table, like all official. And like, all right, what are you going to play? And I'm like, I did Satch Boogie and Eruption for my audition. I was so nervous. I was shaking.
You did Eruption as your audition. That just goes to show you the level that this guy had even back then. Holy cow. Okay.
I was so intimidated by him for some reason. And then, you know, when I got into school and, you know, started the program and he was my guitar teacher for, cause doing private lessons was part of the curriculum. I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, you know, this guy's gonna, you know, whatever. But, again, in the first lesson, you know, we just talked the whole time and just like about like stand-up comedy. And I'm like, oh, this guy rules. Like it was, and I still keep in contact with him too.
Good.
You know, we just text each other back and forth. We played Call of Duty together during COVID. We were playing zombies, which was so fun.
Amazing.
I finally convinced him to get a PlayStation account. So he hopped on with me and my friends. And we were playing zombies. And it was just so fun because he was so bad. And then I'm like, all right, this is funny, but what would be hilarious? We got to get him to play Warzone.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about? Warzone.
Oh yeah.
It's like, so zombies is one thing where that's kind of like,
I feel that's a little more introductory.
Casual.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel
Warzone
like zombies
is like,
you could get anybody into. Yeah. No, Warzone is truly for the gamer, like the hardcore gamer.
Like almost like a simulator at that point. It's like, you know, you gotta like ping here. There's, you know, the compass on top, like, you know, oh, we got shooting, you know, 130 meters to the northeast. Like, you know, if you fire a gun without a suppressor, like it pings you on the mini map. Like there's all these, it's crazy. It's just like such a more involved game mode than zombies, but I didn't tell him that. So he drops into Warzone and immediately gets killed and he goes to the gulag and then comes back somehow. So I think his opponent must not have showed up or something, but he drops in and he just, I remember him just standing there like, I don't know what I'm looking at here.
He's poor Matt. So overwhelmed.
That is the greatest. I love stressing him out. That's my favorite thing in the world to do.
Oh, I miss Matt. Every once in a while, we'll like out of nowhere just say hi. I saw him play at the Falcon a couple times with a couple of his bands. Do you remember the Falcon in Marlboro?
Yeah, of course, that's still there, right?
Yep, still there. Still alive and kicking. Nope, that's all good. Yeah, I've
I'm
seen
hoping to
him
head
play
back
there.
home sometime soon, like just to visit for a little bit and see the family and all that. And
Hey, if you got an hour or
visit.
two, I'd love to grab lunch with you or something.
Oh, dude, we have to
Yeah.
100%. I will absolutely hit you up, man,
Yeah.
because it's amazing like to see you and talk to you, but of course, like in person, it's a
Oh,
different
yeah.
thing. So.
Or if you're available at night, let's grab a drink. We didn't get to do that at St. Rose just based on ages at the time, legally.
I know that too. Yeah. I don't drink anyway, but I will still go with you because that was so far. Like all, a lot of my friends like drink and whatever. I'm like, I don't care. Like I'm not
Yeah.
like, oh, whatever. Like I think it's hilarious. Like seeing my friends like when they drink, they're
Yeah.
just so much fun to be
Yeah.
around. But just for me personally, it is just it was never my thing.
You're
But
better off. I definitely had my issues with it, especially like 2020, 2021. I have a much healthier relationship with it, but yeah, no. It's honestly so much better to probably stay away. I will say this though about our friends. Did you know that I shared a birthday with Joe Benevento? Literally same
I did
day.
not know that.
Yeah, same day, same year. But funny enough, like
Joe's
he
down here too.
Oh, is he down here now? Nice. Oh, wait, I think I knew that. But yes, so Joe and I share the same birthday. So we decided, for our 21st birthday, we were going to go out and we invited a number of people. We were all going out. We did the whole strip there on Madison. We were on Juniors. We were at the Poorhouse. We were hitting up all those places. Everybody else got so far gone that Joe and I were the ones carrying everybody else home on our 21st birthday. It was
Nice.
ridiculous. But then again, I will say this, Joe and I were like shot for shot, drink for drink with everybody else, and we just managed to handle it better. And we're just carrying everybody else home.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I remember one of my favorite memories with you was Shane's comedy show.
Yes. Oh my
That
God. You still in touch with him at all?
was so much
I haven't
fun.
heard from him in a long time.
No, I honestly no, I'm not. I got to message him just to see how he's
Yeah.
doing or whatever. I haven't been in contact with him,
He really
but
was the
Shane's
best
my
one of
old
that show.
roommate.
I was really impressed with his
Yeah,
comedy. He was
I
definitely,
was too.
like, obviously funny dude, just funny dude all around, very talented. But yeah, no, he was good at that. And then also, speaking of Shane, I'm just still so honored that he asked me to sing Michael Bolton's parts in that Lonely Island tribute band
I
for the
forgot that we
cover
did it. I was
show.
playing guitar for
Yep.
that,
You were playing
wasn't
guitar, but it was Shane who hit me up. Shane was like, I remember it was before, I think, like music theory or music history. And he just slams his hand on my table and was like, Connor, I have the role for you. And I'm like, okay. And I love Lonely
Yeah,
Island.
dude.
I
Oh
love
my
that Jack
God,
Sparrow
yeah.
song. I remember whose basement did we get to practice in when we were practicing all the time for that?
I think it was Victor's, right? Because what was that
Was
when
that Victor's?
Shane and Victor were living
That
together?
might have been. Yeah. Victor,
Yeah, and
I miss
just for
Victor.
context, Victor is my Russian friend who is IQ has to be in the single digits if I had to guess, but
Also, for reference, my roommate for 2 years. Yep.
yes, I forgot about that too. Oh my
Oh,
God, I
so
gotta
many
ask
Victor
you, how was
stories.
that?
We'll talk more after we stop recording. But
Perfect.
I
From what
will.
you can tell me, what was
I will say
that
what I will say on camera without getting too far into stories. I love him so much. I really do. So much love for him to this day. But he really was the epitome of sex, drugs, rock and roll. He was 100% the epitome of that. And yeah, it was amazing. He had such a beautiful music intelligence, but not always the greatest intelligence or interpersonal intelligence. Which led to a lot of funny circumstances. We were absolutely the odd couple. Anytime people found out that we were living together, they were like, "You and Victor? How does that work?" Because obviously, unlike what I'm in now, even though I did wear a lot of florals back then, I was like prim and proper. You saw me in suits or like dress clothes all the time. I was
Dude, it's
very
so funny you say
professional.
that. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, do
I
it.
remember a funny story where I was asking Victor, because when you guys were living together, that was kind of like when I first started being friends with him, because we did a like a cover for a like a contest that I was entering, and it was of this Russian song that was like a singer Vitas.
Oh, yes.
He was like that. Yeah, that,
I remember that.
Like that whole thing. I was like, who should I get to sing this? I know the perfect person. And so that's kind of how we became friends. And we were already friends during that whole thing. So I remember like interrogating him in a way, because I'm like, dude, like Connor is like the nicest person I've ever met. He's like,
thank you. Thank you.
There's not a single time I remember him being in a bad mood. I'm like, he's got to have something. There's got to be a dark secret in there somewhere. You have to tell me. And Victor's just like, nah, bro. He's just like that, bro.
You know what? Thank you so much, Victor. Thank you so, so much. Honestly, again, I love him so much. We truly did become brothers. And I'll give you this story, because this is actually a wholesome Victor story. Not all my Victor stories are wholesome. But
yeah, where'd you manage to dig that one up?
So freshman year of college, we're living in Brubacher Hall, and there was a water bottle that was just sitting on our windowsill for a long time. And I remember I'm at my laptop, he's at his, it's quiet in the room, and eventually I break the silence and go, it was like, hey, whose water bottle is that? And he looks at me and it's like, I thought that was yours. It's like, no, I thought that was yours. So we never moved the water bottle the rest of the year. We kept it. So then when we moved in together the next year, we put it up as a display. We still had that water bottle. And then when we had to move apart, Victor took the water bottle for junior year. And then I took the water bottle for senior year. And because I had it when the school shut down, I still have the water bottle. You know what? Give me 1 second. Still have it.
Amazing.
And I think it's also hilarious that after all the years that it's starting to crunch up a little bit, we've refused to drink it or anything, but it just became this decoration that we had. It was just so random, but it was actually, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get rid of this. Maybe the maybe the water will one day come out of it, but I think I'll at least have to keep the bottle. No. So that's a wholesome Victor story. Again, where'd I dig that one out?
One of the only ones that there is.
Exactly.
Love that, man. He's down in Austin now, actually.
Is that where he is now?
Yep. Austin, Texas.
Good for him.
How was I going to say? And I'll keep my mouth shut about the water bottle, by the way, so you guys don't have to get in like a custody battle or.
Oh, no. He knows I have it. He knows I have it. So that's not a problem.
All right. All right. Perfect.
We've talked about it. We've joked around saying it's like, let's get together, crack that open, and get whatever illnesses are in that bottle.
Yeah, it's got to be radioactive by now.
No, at this point, it's probably not good. Probably shouldn't drink from it. But yeah, it is funny, though, because my girlfriend. She was also there at St. Rose. Funny enough, we really didn't know each other at the time, but two things that she remembers were me riding around on a scooter wearing a full suit, and also the fact that I was roommates with Victor, and she loves my Victor story. She loves when I get to tell Victor stories. So, always so, so much fun. And again, we're definitely going to share some of those Victor stories off camera and off the mic. I promise you. Don't worry.
Yes. One story I can think of that should be safe for the camera.
Sounds good.
I just want to get your perspective from, cause when you were hosting Rose Rock
the
one year with Jay Sean
there.
All right. First of all, was that a fever dream or did he play down like five times?
Four times. It was four times. Right. It was not a fever dream. He played it four times, once in the beginning, once in the middle, had everybody sing it to him for the third time, and then he closed on down again.
Okay, that's what I thought. And thank you for confirming that, because that's been bothering me ever since. I'm like, was that real? But I remember Victor taking the liberty of planking in front of him. So, like when he was in his whole planking phase, so I need your perspective from that, because I remember just, it's like, bro, I'm going to do it, bro. I'm like, do what? He's like, don't worry, bro. Just watch. And then he goes in and he flops down in front of him as he's coming off stage. And I think he thought that he like passed out or something.
Dude.
But I need to hear from your perspective what was going on with that.
I love and hate that you brought this up. Because this is bringing up trauma, dude. This is bringing up trauma. So Okay. Yes. Our perspective from operating Rose Rock. Rose Rock was the big music festival that was held at our campus, and we would always get a decent sized headliner. We've had people anywhere from like May Day Parade or OK Go. Who else did we have? We had 303 in that year. Had
almost had Waka Flocka.
Almost had Waka Flocka.
So disappointed.
We almost had DJ Pauly D from Jersey Shore as well.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been crazy. Screw you, NFL draft, because we nearly had the pen and paper together, but then the NFL draft came in and offered like four times the amount that we were able to offer him. So naturally, Pauly D did that instead. But yes, okay. So that perspective with Jay Sean. I'll tell you this from the get-go, as the assistant director of the event and also emceeing and hosting and the various other responsibilities that we had, organizing everything with the musicians was a headache. Organizing things with security was a headache. It was terrible. And not to throw much shade or anything, I'm very grateful for everything Jay Sean and his camp were able to do for us. It was a little difficult wrangling everybody together. So we were kind of stressed out from that. It was not as easy of a process as some of the other ones had been. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We're trying to get Jay Sean off stage. We are understaffed when it comes to security. So we have to have all of us directors like pretty much circle around Jay Sean, because everybody and their drunk asses were swarming Jay Sean as he's getting off stage. So here we are, like me, like the four other girls in the student association, maybe one or two security guards. Again, we were understaffed. And then Victor just planks and everybody's freaking out. Security's freaking out. The other directors are freaking out because
this guy just die?
Jay Sean was freaking out because they're like, oh my God, this dude just passed out. And they were ready to call like ambulance, call an EMT, something like that. And I had to be to these people. No, just keep moving. And they're like, looking
at me. Trust me. I know this guy.
I know this guy. I know what he's doing. I remember that moment vividly, seeing him fall to the ground. And I'm like, Victor and his stupid planks, which
was big on that during the time. He made an Instagram account just based on that,
just for planking,
like plank in random places,
which was already
which
was already like a year or two old. He was past the point where planking was in its prime, but he was still keeping it alive.
Yeah, if there's a trend or something, you know, he'll get to it eventually. When he gets to it,
he'll do it.
Be a problem.
He'll do it. Oh my God. And yeah, so I literally had to tell everybody, it was like, no, just keep going. Just keep, and I'm keep moving Jay Sean along. It wasn't until we got back to the green room where I explained, it's like, oh yeah, that's my dumbass roommate just planking. Like, he did not pass out. He did not die. There is nothing wrong. He was literally just playing a practical joke for a trend that died 2 years ago.
Yeah. And, dude, you got to get him on the show, man. If you want some an entertaining show, he will not disappoint. I can tell you that much.
No, he would not. Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Now me, I'm pretty boring, but him.
You're fun. One of my favorite things that I love that we did. Do you remember like when EO was still so fresh and new and he got uncomfortable with a lot of our humor? So we would just purposely like almost kind of pseudo flirt with him just to get his like really creeped out reaction.
Oh, of course.
Oh my God. It was so, so good. And then it just got to the point, like, we're just throwing all these innuendos at each other and EO's just in the corner like, ah. That was a fun time. I always love messing with EO. As you said, annoying Matt was one of your favorite things. Our moments doing that with EO was one of my favorite. And I love EO. And I will just say this. I remember coming back for his senior year and seeing his senior project and seeing how much of a leadership role he took, because he was helping everybody else's senior projects. He was still doing sound. He was a boss, man. He was a boss. And I was so proud of him. And then I know he's worked sound on tours all around the country. Like, I'm so proud of that dude. Like, I just to see where he started.
Yeah. All these people, like, yeah, you know, I brought up Aiden before, like he's killing it. He's, you know, teching for all these, like, awesome bands. He was teching with Midland for a while.
Yes.
They're another great, great band.
Yep.
You know, now he's working with, I know right after we hang up, I'm going to remember the name, but like, he's working with someone else now, like, doing the tech. And like, he's really got his life together.
Yeah.
And, you know, just seeing all these guys just doing, you know, amazing things. Like, it really inspires me. I'm like, man, I gotta get my life together. You know,
you're doing amazing things. You were touring in Europe, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know. I
think we all have a level of imposter syndrome. So I think there's a level of that.
Exactly. Like, I don't mean that to come off like I was like, oh, you know, sabotage is no big deal. Like, it's like the best. Like, there's not too many, if any, musical situations that would mean more to me than playing. Again, I want to be careful with the phrasing because I'm not in the band, but I'm just, you know, touring.
You're with the band. You're in the camp. You're in the camp. You're with the band. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know, there's not any that I can think of that would be cooler than that, you know, just because of how special they are to me and how I never thought they would play again. Like, you know, the last time they toured was, it's so funny.
Wasn't it the mid-2010s? Wasn't it?
Well, in 2015, they did a one-off show, but it wasn't strictly a Sabotage show, and that was at Focken.
Nice.
So they did a split bill. Like, they used not split bill, but like they have two stages, like, mm-hmm. two main stages at Focken, and, you know, usually it's one band on this stage, one band on the other, like, you know, switching off. Like, this band would play, then quick turnover, then this band, then, you know, they're changing the equipment on this one, and then like go. But for their set, they used both stages and did kind of like a co-headline thing with Trans Siberian Orchestra, but, you know, obviously it's the same guys.
That's
so like
funny.
So on one stage they played like, I think, seven just Sabotage songs, mm-hmm. and then the other stage they played like, you know, let's just say seven Trans Siberian Orchestra songs, and then they used both stages and played Sabotage and Trans Siberian Orchestra songs with everybody.
That's
and
sick.
There's footage on YouTube of it, and it's so, so cool.
That's amazing. That is so, so fun.
Yeah. Oh. So that was, that was kind of like a one-off thing in 2015. So they were planning to do a tour around that,
mm-hmm.
but then just various circumstances, you know, Paul O'Neill, rest his soul, he passed away.
That was shortly after, wasn't it? 2017?
Yeah, I believe that was 2017, yep.
Yeah.
So that, you know, obviously kind of put a, like a wrench in the touring plans. But, you know, we do, during the song Believe, we have behind us a kind of montage of different pictures of John, Chris Oliva, his brother, who was killed in, I think, 1994, mm-hmm. 93 or 94 by a drunk driver. And that was horrific. And then Paul O'Neill, like, it's kind of like a tribute to all three of those guys, even though, you know, John is obviously still living, but, you know, he's not able to be there.
He can't be there.
You know, physically.
Yep.
So, you know, any way to honor them and the legacy and the music is, you know, that we try to just make sure that it's as, I guess, I don't know what I'm saying. I digress, but we make
I
sure
hear what you're
honor
saying.
Those guys, you know what I mean?
But, no, great.
But yeah, so the last time they toured as Sabotage, like doing an actual tour, was, I believe, 2003.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. But the last time they toured with the same lineup that they're doing now, you know, minus John, was 1998.
Wow.
It was the last time Al was in the band, and I, like we were saying, I you know, I like messing with people, and one of my favorite things to do is anytime he brings that up, I'm like, oh yeah, that was before I was born, right?
Yeah.
And
so
he's like, screw you, man.
He must hate that. I'm sure those guys must be like, oh my god, we have a baby with us. Jeez.
Yeah, any chance I get, I bring it up. It's I love it.
Nice.
So, I love rubbing it in.
The fact that you've brought it back around to Sabotage, I think this is probably a good point for us to wrap up, especially because I was saving this question for the very, very end. As a musician, I know as one of my dreams is just to be able to look out to a crowd of hundreds or thousands of people and, you know, singing along or rocking out to the songs that we're playing and just to have that aha moment. You know, I think that's something most musicians really yearn for. You've had an opportunity to have this kind of moment many times over through the tours with Sabotage. What has it been like to look out into the audience, see those crowds of thousands of people and to be able to share this moment and this music with them. What's that been like for you?
So it's, well, it's kind of funny. The first show that I played with them was sold out Monsters of Rock in Brazil in a soccer stadium.
Incredible.
So, talk about trial by fire, first of all. And, you know, I made the mistake of looking up a picture of the arena before, and then I'm like, I probably shouldn't have looked at that because it was huge. Like, you know, I think it was, I want to say like 40,000 or something.
Wow.
That it was just unbelievable, like the scope of it. And, you know, I've always kind of gone into it as, you know, coming from a fan perspective, I know how much that this show would mean to me if I were in the crowd. So I don't take that for granted for a second. And that is constantly, I don't want to say weighing on me, because it's not like a negative thing. It's, I think, a positive mm-hmm. thing, like just a motivating thing. I'm like, I know, you know, what I know that if I were in the crowd, kind of what I would want to see or what I would expect to see. And, you know, I just do my very, very best to put forward the energy and, you know, obviously playing the songs as well as I can, you know, and just giving it truly, truly all I've got, because I know how important it is to the people that show up for the shows. And during Believe, the song I mentioned before, that's like a, you know, a real beautiful, beautiful ballad. And I swear there's rarely a dry eye in the audience or on the stage, to be honest. And by the time we're done with it, just you know, it's a very big responsibility that I, you know, make sure to do everything I can to respect.
Yeah.
And, you know, not, you know, I'm just a small part of this whole thing, but, you know, every part, you know, adds up to the whole. And, you know, I just, it's, you know, I'm trying to kind of think of how to describe it, or like, I don't know, without getting emotional, I should say.
Get emotional. I would offer you a tissue, but we're a little far away.
Yeah, but no, it just, it means more than I can describe in words to me to be any part of that, because to me it goes beyond the music. It's, it really is just an amazing, very therapeutic thing for a lot of people. And to look out in the audience and see people singing along to every word, see people, you know, crying because of how much these songs mean to them. You know, me crying because of how much these songs mean to me, you know,
yeah.
You know, that is always first and foremost in my mind, was to make sure that I am performing up to the level that I would expect if I were in the audience seeing this band that hadn't been together for so long and now is coming back and, you know, playing this music that is so important to so many people. And secondary to that, you know, just personally to be a part of it is mind blowing. Like, you know, as again, as a fan kind of turned into a, you know, a part of the ensemble, I'm like, yeah. Whoever would have thought this would, if someone told me that this would have happened, you know, a year ago, I would have said, you know, you're out of your mind. I would have even been like, you're crazy saying that Sabotage was playing again, let alone, you know, me playing, let alone me playing keys and singing with, you know, it's just all been so bizarre in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time that the first time that I went on stage with them was Sao Paulo in for the Monsters of Rock.
Yep.
And I, you know, I always get, you know, at least a little nervous before shows. But you know, this is a little bit different because yeah. You know, I never really played like a, you know, I think the biggest audience I had played to up to that point was about like 3,500 or so. Mm-hmm. And this was 40,000.
Yeah.
So little different. And you know, I remember walking through the tunnel leading to the stage and just thinking like, oh my God, like this is about to happen. Like,
Yeah.
and I was so nervous beforehand, but it almost kind of got to a point where I was like, this is almost like so insane that it goes beyond being nervous, and it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, just go out and do it.
Yeah.
So I walked up from the walked up the stairs to the behind the stage area, and you know, just kind of shaking, like, oh my God, like I hear the roar of the crowd, you know, because someone's out there like, who's ready for Sabotage? And you know, never thought I'd hear those words, first of all. But
Yeah.
then I look to my left and I see Michael Wilton from Queensryche, you know, putting his guitars in the case because they just finished their set. And I'm
Wow.
thinking, like, I grew up going to Queensryche concerts with my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I must have seen them at least 6 times. And you know, there he is, like, you know, or I'm about to play, you know, the same show that they're playing. And then I look to my right and I see Al, who, you know, is one of the reasons I play guitar, you know,
Death.
Sabotage, of course, Megadeth. I had a DVD of Megadeth from Rude Awakening where, you know, he's on it, and he's the reason I got a Gibson Explorer. I loved the way it looked. I loved his playing. And you know, I'm just like, what is going on? And so you know, still nervous at this point. I'm like, this is like, oh God, oh God, like so much pressure, so much pressure. And then I just hear this thwap. It almost sounded like a firework went off or something.
Wow.
And I look and a cable fell from the top of the stage right in front of my keyboard. And I'm like, we're
Oh my
about to go
God.
on. If that happened 2 minutes later, like that would have been a real problem. And
Yeah.
I'm almost thankful that happened because it was almost like a kind of comic relief in a sense, or like you know, Murphy's Law, like of course that, you know,
Yeah.
of course something like that would happen, you know. So that kind of
Kind of
eased my
de-escalated
mind a
things,
little.
right?
Yeah, it kind of brought me
Yeah.
back to reality where I'm like I could laugh a little bit, and then
Yeah.
you know, like, all right, now I feel ready.
Nice.
And you can never really be ready for something like that. You know, I'll never forget when is we opened with Welcome,
Yeah.
and there's a part where it goes, Minstrels, Kings, Explorers, Fantasies on Order. And I just look out in the crowd, and everyone was da, 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 like the arms were up in the air, singing along. I'm like, what is going on? Like, it really is like a scene from like a movie, you know. And you know, something I'll never forget. And every
Amazing.
crowd was just incredible, and same kind of singing along, you know, going nuts, you know, feeling the music. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if I did a good job of really painting the picture of it, but it's you know, it's just something that if I'm struck down tonight by God or you know, whatever, I at least can say, you know, that was pretty cool, you know.
Totally.
I could
See,
die a happy man.
there you go. See, I knew
Prefer
our.
not to die, but
Yeah, let's
you
not. We,
know.
as I said, we need to get together end of August, so we got to take care of that. Well,
Yeah, I
hey.
always joke with Victor. Oh, I'm
Oh
sorry.
yeah,
I
no,
keep
go
cutting you
ahead.
off, though.
You're
I'm
fine,
sorry.
dude. It's
I was
Zoom.
gonna
It
say
happens all the time. What would you say?
that's another kind of joke that I've had with Victor through this whole process. Because I was like, man, like you know, if somehow I get this gig, like could die a happy man, like you know, whatever, like you know, I wouldn't care, you know. The next day I you know, just drop down dead, whatever, but I just like, this would be incredible. But you know, then now that did happen, I'm like, I kind of take that back. I don't really want to die.
There you go. It's like, yeah, be careful how you word things. Be careful what you say.
Good thing it wasn't like a genie listening or anything.
Yeah. No, they would have turned that wish right around. Jeez. But see, I knew that was the question to end things on because that is phenomenal. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. Be on Walsh Wednesday. I'm so proud of everything that you have going on. I'm so happy for you. And I hope we can get together in person real soon.
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it, man. Thank you so much for having me. This was, again, like just to talk to you again is great. And, you know, I really appreciate you having me on. It means a lot.
Of course, man.
Yeah, man.
Got you. I'm Connor.
I'm Victor.
No. I'm Connor.
I'm Sean.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP Attorneys at Law, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.